And it's KVCR Arts Now on KVCR Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. On a previous program, we explored the music of jazz pianist John Beasley, looking at some holiday music as well as past albums paying tribute to Thelonious Monk and Herbie Hancock. As this show falls just a bit before Christmas, we'll go back to a bit of seasonal music from John, but going into the program with something I'm really excited about, a 2024 release of Return to Forever material, reimagined for big band, but still keeping the feel of jazz fusion. It's called Returning to Forever. Vulcan Worlds behind us now as we go into conversation with John Beasley, who realized this music of Return to Forever for big band. This tune originally opened the Return to Forever album Where Have I Known You Before. John, I interviewed Stanley Clark a couple of times several years back, and very recently I had a lengthy interview with Al DiMeola. And so that said, I listen to Chick Corea in various forms, including a lot of Return to Forever, but recently I was just steeping in it. Like the old, you're soaking in it now, the old Palmolive commercial. I was just there. And so this is just returning to forever. This is just refreshing to stay there. You know, I love jazz. Fusion is one of the things that probably draws me more than, you know, well, let's say a funk and fusion kind of thing draws me more than straight ahead these days. I want to start with, for me, would be the elephant in the room, or in this case, it's the Vulcan in the room. The disc is filled with Chick Corea tunes. There is one Stanley Clark composition, Vulcan Worlds. And so this was the first one I listened to on Returning to Forever. I really dislike the fact that people can just go and get tracks 3, 6, and 7, and they don't have to listen to the thought that people put into as far as sequencing and the story and ebb and flow that it tells. And so normally I will start with the first track and let it go to the end. But I went right to Vulcan Worlds. I have to say too, because of Vulcan Worlds, I started rearranging CDs to make room in the fusion section of my library for the big band when I tracked down a hard copy. So with the inclusion of Vulcan Worlds, was this because of the tune itself, or were you just really making a concerted effort to include something beyond Chick Corea compositions?
No, it was a Return to Forever record. Whoever wrote the music. It just happened that Chick wrote the bulk of the material for that band, you know. But Vulcan Worlds is from Where Have I Known You Before.
Yep.
I think that came out when I was in high school or junior high school or something like that. And that tune was my favorite tune on that record. I loved that tune. And so I had to have it. And I have a history with Stanley. You know, I've played off and on since 1987 with Stanley.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
You know, yeah, he's a great musician, a great guy, and I love playing with him, you know. But I didn't choose it because of that. I chose it because I really liked that song.
Okay. It was just you weren't even looking at composers. They were just returning to forever songs and just going with it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And were you also
and why not put our favorites on there, right?
Oh my God, yeah. It's like this is finally my chance. You're making a mixtape long after we stopped making mixtapes. That's I never thought of it that way. Okay, so now going back to how the album actually starts, with how I maybe should have put it on there, Captain Senior Mouse. This would have originally been on Hymn of the Seventh Galaxy. about hitting the ground running. This one is hard and fast, thick textures and propelling drives from a variety of sources, not just the rhythm section. But I mean, like, you didn't lead up to this or anything. You stated it right out of the gate, and I really mean stated it, you know, talking about here's what we want to present on this disc coming up. So with that, are you totally the one responsible for the sequencing, deciding, okay, I want to go into it this way, just hit the ground running?
Yeah, it was me and the engineer, Axel Gunther, and Olaf. I guess we're listed as producers, but Olaf is the band manager for the radio band, Frankfurt Radio Big Band.
Okay.
Axel and I, you know, we mixed this record together, so we spent a lot of time with it, and we passed different versions of sequences back and forth and landed on this one. And everybody had this one first because it's just a good introduction. It's got a lot of energy to it. It's not as long as the other ones, you know. It just seemed like a good fit. Also, it's the first album of the electric version of The Return of Forever, right?
Ah, yeah, so, that's right. That's a good way of looking at that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and people forget that there were a few different eras or versions, if you will, of Return to Forever. Even before Al Di Meola, I mean, there was the Chick Corea record, which was called Return to Forever, and that's even how we closed with that one. So I'll go back to hitting this in order. Originally also from the same Return to Forever album, Hymn of the Seventh Galaxy, you included Space Circus. Now this one gives us a moment to take a breath after Captain Senior Mouse. At least a very gentle, almost pensive beginning, but then it's a really cool funk groove, and just like the original. And so as you're rearranging these tunes for big band, are there instruments that typically are swapped out for whatever the original might have been? You know, say some instruments provide a round tone and therefore can easily take the place of another instrument if you're rearranging, that sort of thing. So are there any typical instruments? I know you've got some screaming guitar in there anyway, so it's not like you suddenly have to get the oboe player really working. Is there any kind of a typical thing, or does it truly change? Okay, soprano sax works here, and you may just stay with the guitar here.
Well, you know, I took some of keyboard work, Chick's comping, if you will,
yeah,
sort of rhythmic ideas, and put them with different horns, be it brass or woodwinds. Same with Al Di Meola, some of his little funky lines I put with woodwinds. The beginning of Space Circus was originally a children's song. Chick had written a solo piano book. It's a published book, actually, called Children's Songs. And that's the introduction to Space Circus and the outro. So he did that a few times. He also did it in the beginning of Returning Forever. Probably several Return Forever songs, you know, within those four records are some of these intros where he would put this sort of classical type piano pieces rearranged for their quartet, and then I just rearranged them for big band. So that's what you hear. And, you know, I took liberties, and even in Vulcan World, there's a Chick Corea mini Moog solo that I transcribed and put it with the horns. So there's a lot of inspiration in the original tracks that made it in a different way into this record.
I didn't know about the children's song thing, but I truly had it set to ask that this, and again, as you stated, there are several Chick Corea compositions that feel like this, but with Space Circus, it feels like two different tunes that were combined. But it's hard to tell because there are so many Chick Corea songs that are written in several movements, for lack of a better way of stating it.
Yeah, it's a long-form writing, you know. It is coming from the classical world, this idea of setting up a long landscape, you know, a mood, transforming you into this funk thing, and then it winds back down again. Recapitulation is what we call it.
Okay.
Back to the original mood.
Okay, yeah. That's the return. Okay.
And that was sort of new in jazz.
And the word innovator is tossed around a lot. But
yeah, you know, there you go. Yeah, innovator for sure.
Yeah. That's one of the things that Stanley had mentioned. I don't know if it was my first or my second time with him, but I think I asked him if they were actually trying to do, of course, nobody was calling it fusion yet because they were just doing something different. It was assigned later on, but they weren't really trying to do something different. They were just trying to make music. And it was as simple as that. One more on that album. You close with the tune Return to Forever, and this would be the title track, although people consider this one to be a Chick Corea album, which led to Return to Forever, the band. This one wraps the album so nicely with a gentle introduction and resolution with something close to, I don't know, frenetic yet totally pleasing in the middle. So was this recorded, please, and then chosen to be the closing track? Or was it a case of having the album together, then realizing you needed a good closer? I ask specifically because the previous track, Your Everything, really accomplishes the same thing as Return to Forever. You know, it leads us in and then takes off for a while and then eases back out. They both kind of accomplish that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that I wasn't planning on sequencing when I was putting material together for the record. I was just being in the flow.
Okay. Gotcha.
But somehow the way Return to Forever on this record fades out, has a long fade.
Yeah.
Makes me think that, okay, we are on this journey returning to forever. Mm. And forever is an infinity thing, right? And to me, that vamp out represents infinity because nobody stops playing.
Yeah.
It just fades out.
That's
so
right.
The journey continues.
Totally cool.
And I also think it's kind of cheeky that the end with the first, you know, thought of Return to Forever in a way, right? You know, he writes this tune and calls it Return to Forever.
Yeah.
And then he probably realized after that, wow, that's a good name for a band, you know?
Yeah. Again, it has several quite literal, this close to tangible kind of reasons behind it. Could be subjective, I don't know, but it's a really, really cool album, and as I hope it's clear, I mean, I have a love for Herbie, and I almost said Herbie Mann, but he's there too, but Herbie Hancock and Stanley and Alan collectively, along with Chick, returning to Forever. So this one was just a huge treat for me, and I'm glad to have discovered this. If I could ask about one more project before we wrap up, and this goes back several years, but for folks listening, just to set it up, there's a thing called Rabbit Ears Radio that went on, I don't know if it started in the 80s and went into the 90s, but I was at another station in Kentucky when Rabbit Ears Radio was around. We were broadcasting it, and I've never been able to speak with any of the folks involved, and so now, 30 years later, hey, here's you, John. So what Rabbit Ears Radio was, people had, in essence, say, they would get Robin Williams to read and act out the voices of Pecos Bill, and then they would have, well, I don't know why I'm remembering this 30 years ago, but I think Ry Cooter coming in to perform on that one. And so that's what they would do. They would get musicians mixed with actors, mixed with stories that we know, and that was Rabbit Ears Radio. So now we had you with Moe's the Fireman, narrated by Michael Keaton, and then along with you, Walter Becker. So if you would, please, John, just I'd like to know about any of the process, starting with how did it even come to you? You get this weird call in the middle of the afternoon, and it's like, hey, we have this thing, Rabbit Ears Radio.
Right. Wow. That really brings back memories. That was in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
Sort of early 90s, I guess.
Yeah, early. Yeah.
Um, Well, I'd been playing on some of Walter Becker's productions. You know, cool. He was starting to produce records. He had retired for a while, and he was getting back in the music business, and he produced some Michael Franks record, and Ricky Lee Jones record, and I was on those records, and he actually produced my first two records. He got me a record deal with Windham Hill Jazz, so my record Cauldron was my first, and my second, Change of Heart, he produced both those.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I ended up working in Steely Dan and playing on his solo record, was it 12 or 13 tracks of Wax, something like that? It's a really nice record, actually. And so I had this relationship with him, and the lady who produced those, they were actually picture book CDs originally, you know? So you put the CD in, you sit down with your child, and you look at the pictures and read along with them or whatever, you know?
Okay.
They were all illustrated. They were incredible. So she got a hold of Walter, because Walter's, you know, of course, a lot more famous than me. And I was 28, 29, something like that. I wasn't very old. And she said, here's this cool story. You should score it. So Walter and I, he was living in Maui at the time, and he had a studio there. So I went to the studio, and we wrote this score together. It was super fun. I had spent some time with the dialogue and the story and had written themes and stuff of where to go. And we just did that all ourselves. He's playing drums. I'm playing drums. We played all these instruments, you know. A friend of mine named Steve Tavoloni came in and played a lot of the woodwinds, and we had a ball doing it. It was so much fun. I have to listen to that again. I have not thought about that in years.
I just uncovered, you know, like many public radio geeks, I've got a collection of coffee mugs, and one of which is a Rabbit Ears Radio coffee mug, and I just pulled that out, and I started thinking about these again, and then I was just blown away when I saw your name amongst them. And I always wondered, because, you know, when people are scoring a movie, I spoke with Stanley about this, as a matter of fact, but, you know, sometimes you watch or hear and then compose to match that, much like the old organ player watching the silent film. And then sometimes musicians are simply asked to provide, okay, I need a medium tempo blues. Okay, give me something dark, one more uplifting. Boom, you're done. But this was actually more like scoring, you know, as you mentioned, you spent some time with the dialogue. So I get the feeling that you got into the script and the story and wrote to
the
company.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Way
definitely.
Cool. Yet another one that I have to go back to and listen with a set of fresh ears. Oh, rabbit ears in this case. To close out, we've got johnbeasleymusic.com for your website. Do you have a social media presence as well?
John Beasley Official on Instagram, and Facebook is John Beasley.
I used to ask people if they were tweeters just because I liked asking that question, but now it feels politically charged to ask about X. Physically, you're not far away, and so the fact that you're based in roughly L.A., I know you've got gigs that just pop up, whether or not they're even on your official schedule, so it'd be easy to get something going in the future. But, John, I really appreciate your time, and I'd love to maybe revisit this in the future, maybe do a deep track thing on some of your Monk material, combine three albums into 45 minutes, who knows what.
Yeah, right. Man, you're so knowledgeable, man. This has been great. I would like to do that.
Thank you so much for your time. This was a lengthy one, but in all honesty, I don't know what to do with a 10-minute interview these days, so I really appreciate this extended round of time, and I look forward to the next one a couple months down the road.
My pleasure, man.
I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts, speaking with jazz pianist John Beasley. We've been hearing about and from the 2024 release Returning to Forever, which is up for one of two Grammy nominations for John for 2025. The other nomination is in the category of Best Latin Jazz Album for El Trio, Live in Italy. He's won two Grammys in the past, along with 12 nominations and two Latin Grammy nominations as well. More at johnbeasleymusic.com, and more as KVC Arts continues. Back now with KVC Arts, I'm David Fleming. Find many past KVC Arts through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. On this edition of the program, I'm speaking with John Beasley. A reminder that you can find Returning to Forever, the album we were addressing during the first part of the show, and much, much more at johnbeasleymusic.com, including his Holidays release, rounding out the program quite nicely. for this edition of KVC Arts. I've been speaking with John Beasley. We just heard from his Holidays release some familiar tunes with really cool arrangements. This is one to have on your shelf or box of holiday stuff you break out right after Thanksgiving. So when you go to track it down, that's Holidays with a Z. Again, keep up with John through Instagram and Facebook, as well as johnbeasleymusic.com. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to John Beasley, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Zach Mays, Sandy Hodela, and Sharina Wad. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Be sure to check out our calendar of events in the region at our homepage, kvcrnews.org, or you can go directly there at kvcrnews.org/calendar. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support, which you can do any time of the year. Go to kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.